was talking to Serena, and she said, "What's the title for your message for Sunday?" She likes to put it up on the screen. And I said, "Just do it." And her immediate reaction was, "Nike." And I guess that's what most of us think when we hear that slogan. Because through the power of advertising, Nike has made that slogan its own. However, I reckon that James, the author of the book of James in the New Testament, may well argue that he used it first. James 1:22. James says to us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." In other words, just do it. And how often we need to be told to just do it rather than listening and doing nothing. This James was not one of the apostles. There was a James who was an apostle. That's not the one. He was not one of the 12. In fact, this James was the brother, or one of the brothers of Jesus. And at first, during Jesus' ministry, this James was very against Jesus. He did not believe his claims. In fact, he thought that Jesus was mad. But then it seems that after the resurrection, James came into a belief in Jesus, an understanding of who he was, and had a very strong and very active faith. So much so that the church in Jerusalem, the first church, the Christian church there, appointed James as its leader and as its head. And James was always known as a man of prayer, but a man of active Christianity. And he encouraged Christians to be active in their Christianity. Part of that was the letter that he wrote that we find in our Bibles. If you might like to find it now, it might take you a little while perhaps, in the New Testament, the book of James there, because we're going to read from that in a moment. But this letter from James is known as one of the most Jewish writings in the New Testament. And in content, it has been linked with the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament as wisdom literature. And that becomes clear when you read through James, because when you read through it, you will notice that the book of James contains a whole heap of proverbial type sayings, statements, challenges. Now, these are very practical. So James is all about practical Christianity. And that's our theme for the next few weeks, practical Christianity. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at some of these challenges in James and elsewhere to act, to not just be hearers, but also to be doers of the word. But before then, we need to look more closely at the context of James' instructions to just do it. And so that we can fully understand why it's so vital that we as believers go beyond hearing into doing the word. That context is James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, which is our Bible reading for today. And let me say, when James talks about the word, he is talking about, firstly, the gospel, the accounts of Jesus Christ, then the writings that were already being circulated by the apostles, and, of course, the sacred scriptures from the Old Testament. So when he talks about the word, he's talking about what we have today as the Bible, inspired word of God. And he says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Now, immediately, we are being made aware that there are two possible pathways open to each believer who sits under the preaching of the word, or who studies the word of God, or who just reads the Bible by themselves. One pathway leads to self-deceit and not much else. The listener has felt that they have benefited from what they have heard, but because they did nothing to respond, they received no blessing from it. The other pathway, notice, includes both listening and doing what God lays upon your heart through the proclamation of his word. Those people, they're the ones who are blessed. Now, the contrast between the two pathways is perhaps made more obvious through another translation of this passage. I give you the contemporary English version. Obey God's message. Don't fool yourself by just listening to it. If you hear the message and don't obey it, you are like people who stare at themselves in a mirror and forget what they look like as soon as they leave. But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey and don't just hear and forget. Now, this is particularly relevant when the message is a very practical one, as much of what James writes is. He is so practical in what he writes. And the illustration that James gives us here aptly presents this, for he talks about a man looking into a mirror. I went back on this and checked, and it's some translated as people, but in fact he does say a man here. And without being overtly sexist, I could dare to suggest that when a man looks into a mirror, it's a very practical act. He looks for a definite reason, not just to see how beautiful he is. Mind you, it may be with some. He may look to make sure that he's going to look his best so he will impress his girlfriend. Or so that he's just right for an interview that he is going to go on. But if he now comes and looks in the mirror and sees that his hair is all fuzzy, if he's got hair, all over the place, and he's got a bit of grease on his forehead and down the cheek, and there's something brown and slimy running out of one of his nostrils, if he looks and sees all that, but rushes off and forgets to correct them, then his time of looking in the mirror has been wasted. And he alone is to blame for what happens next. The mirror definitely isn't. Now, the connection between that and our gathering here this morning to hear God's word proclaimed is easily seen. It raises a question about our intent or our purpose when we come into a situation like this, where we hear the word of God proclaimed, or where we gather to read the word of God. Do we come expecting and wanting God to challenge us from his word? Is it our purpose this morning to really hear from God? To hear not from the pastor, the preacher, or the study group leader, but to hear from God? Did we pray before we came for God to tell us something through his word? Something that may encourage us, something that will lead us into action, something that may send us somewhere, something that may challenge us to remedy a wrong in our lives that suddenly he reveals to us. Something that will make us be doers through the proclamation of his word into our hearts. And when the word is open before us, do we look into the word intently? You know, that is what James suggests as the best way in verse 25. Whoops. Ah, I should have had that one before. That's a mirror one.
prick. It's gone.
In verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Notice the words, for the man who looks intently. That suggests a very strong look, doesn't it? It's not a casual look. It's a deliberate listening to what God is saying. It's a reading of the Word of God with intent, not just a casual reading. It's an active and alert digging into the Word of God. That is what we're talking about here. That's what we've got to do. Now, it's very informative to note that the Greek word used here, which is translated looks intently, is exactly the same word, and it's a quite unusual form, is exactly the same word as used in Luke 24:12 of Peter the Apostle. It was the first Easter Sunday, and the women had been down to the tomb, and they found it empty, and they'd been told that Jesus was risen. And they came back, and they told the disciples, the body is gone, Jesus is risen. And Peter rushes down to the tomb, closely followed, or actually John got there, no, Peter, that's it. John got there first, Peter came second, I think, but Peter, when he gets there, looks in, one of them. And when Peter gets to the tomb, what does he do? Well, this is what the scripture says. But Peter ran to the tomb, and when he stooped down and looked in. And here's that same word used. Now, Peter is not going to go to that tomb just to have a quick glance, is he, and then go. Can you imagine that? Get there, whoop, no, nothing there, off he goes. No, you see, this is so important. He has been told that the body of Christ is not there, and it's not. And these women are saying that Jesus is risen. So Peter makes sure he checks everything out. He peers in. He doesn't go in like John does, but he peers in. And we can imagine him looking right round, making sure that he doesn't miss anything. That there's not a small clue that he would miss to what has possibly happened here. He looked intently. And that's how we are to look and listen to the Word of God. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the Word of God isn't just any old book we're talking about here. It's just the Word of God. Now think again about James's mirror illustration. And reflect on the moment, for on the times that you have glanced in the mirror with no great reasons to do so. And then maybe you've noticed something out of the ordinary that gave you some concern. Perhaps a little spot that has always been there, but it looks a bit different today. Or a mole that seems to be changing. As you look at it, you begin to wonder, well, is that a possible melanoma I've got there? Is that some growth that's looking rather ominous at the moment? And once you've seen that, suddenly the image you see in the mirror changes the intensity with which you're looking into the mirror, doesn't it? And it challenges you to do something about it. And you have to decide, you've got a choice. Are you going to do something? Or are you just going to ignore it and hope for the best? In the case of hearing from God through his word, whether it's proclaimed, whether it's read, that situation arises for the believer and can arise for the believer at any time. And perhaps you felt that. We look, we listen to the Word of God, we just come, perhaps quite casually, and suddenly it challenges us. Suddenly we feel God speaking to us about an issue in our lives that we need to do something about. We feel uneasy. We sense God speaking. And we've got a choice. We'll either act on it or ignore it and hope it goes out of our mind. This was the case for one young man that Luke writes about in his gospel, in Luke chapter 18. He came to Jesus one day and he asked the Lord Jesus, "Good Master, what one thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" You see, Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus being the Word of God, he's the mirror that this man looks into. Then this man already believes that his life of keeping the commandments has set him up for eternity. And he expects Jesus to reflect this good picture back to him. "Yeah, you're right. Good." But Jesus doesn't, does he? Speaking as the Word of God, he reflects back to this man an image that needs more from this man than he has given up to this point. In fact, more than he's prepared to give. And Jesus said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." He had expected, I'm sure, Jesus to respond with words that affirmed the view that he had of himself. He expected to be told that his image was okay, that he was doing sufficient to inherit our eternal life, or perhaps there's just a little thing to back it up. He looked into this spiritual mirror, which was Jesus, expecting to see nothing wrong. But the reflection he gets from the Word of God is very different, isn't it? It's of a sinner who needs to be a doer, who needs to do to show that that commitment is real, and then to follow. To just do it. To just do it is really the message that Jesus gives him. But the man walks away because it is too hard. I wonder whether that's happened to you lately. Whether you've looked intently into God's word in some way, during a sermon or at home or in reading it, and God has revealed something specifically to you. Perhaps he said to you, "I want you to sell off everything and go off to the mission field." Or perhaps he said to you, "Look, there's something missing in your relationship with me. I want you to change that. I want you to pray more. I want you to love others more. I want you to reach out more." Or maybe it's something or someone that he wants you to go and see. A person to befriend, to speak to pray for. Talking yesterday, or no, Friday, to a lady I just met, and she was saying that her mother was dying. Her mother had never had any Christian feelings at all. And she had felt led by the Lord on a particular day that she needed to ring, that was her sister, she needed to ring her sister and tell her about Jesus. And tell her that Jesus, she needed Jesus, because this lady was dying of cancer. And she did on that day. She heard the word of God. She rang up and spoke to this lady. And the lady said, "Do you know, it's funny you should ring today." But she said, "There were friends of mine who were Catholics, and they had written about me to the Vatican, and the Vatican had wrote back, and I got this letter today to tell me that they're praying for you. It seems as though God's trying to say something to me." You've got to be right on, haven't you? When God says, do it, you've got to do it. You've got to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And perhaps you've sensed God speaking to you. And maybe over the last few months, you know that God has spoke to you different things. I'd like to challenge you today to go home and to think about that. And perhaps in some quiet time of the Lord, take out a notebook and jot down what comes to mind. What messages God has given to you. And then recall what you have done or what you are doing about them. And if you find you have nothing to write, then that's a message in itself that you need to do something about.
Then finally, there's just one last point I'd like to share with you that I think we can gain from seeing the Word of God as a mirror. And it relates to how others see us. You know, one of the main reasons we check ourselves out in the mirror, make sure our hair is nice and our face is beautiful, because we know that the people we meet are going to check us out. So we check ourselves out first before they check us out. I think back to that type of checking has helped me on a few occasions to avoid what I call the dreaded still wearing the name badge curse. Because there have been times where I've been at a function or in a church service and I've had to wear a name badge like this. I forgot to take it off. You know what it's like, you go in the shop and they say, "Hello Keith, how are you?" And you think, who is this stranger? Do I know them? Should I know them? Do I owe them money? You know, that type of questions goes through your mind. And then you realise that you're still wearing your name badge. And I've been really happy on occasions when, as I've gone rushed from a place, I've happened to go past a mirror or a shop window which has reflected my image and I've seen my name badge. I've been able to take it off before I get embarrassed by it. Now, as a Christian, it's a little different. You see, I want to be seen, not wearing a name badge like this, but wearing the name of Jesus Christ. I want to be seen as a believer. I want to be seen as someone who loves Jesus and who the Lord is working in. And the embarrassment for me is when I'm seen through my bad behaviour as one who's not wearing the name of Christ at that moment. Not being what Christ wants me to be in that situation. You know, it's only as I look into God's Word, it's only as I learn what Jesus expects of me as his follower, it's only as I hear what it says and can judge my behaviour from against the Christ-likeness that I'm called to practice, it's only then that I can be increasingly confident in Jesus that I am seeking to live out before others the right testimony to Jesus being alive in me. And for that to happen, we need to be doers of the word, don't we? And not just hearers. We need in Christ's strength to get out there and just do it.